Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a brand new audio-only episode of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. Got a lot of stuff to talk about today, and first off, I just hope everyone listening is doing well. I have to point something out in the last episode. You know, I had a lot of stuff on my mind. I think it's just a common issue that people who make a career based off of people enjoying them. people who make a career out of people liking them is bound to have its fragile moments. And I think what I'd like to do, and this might sound silly to the good fans and the loyal artsy farters out there, but I would like to, in a sense, apologize for the first 20 to 25 minutes of last week's episode, because it was pretty detached and a little bit rambly, and it was more or less just kind of a bummer to listen to. Like, if I was, having a tough week with a lot of work or, stuff with family that's just piling on, and you look for reprieve from these things via your favorite entertainers. You go to YouTube, you go to TikTok, throw on a podcast, listen to a song, and to turn those things on and then hear the same people just kind of dragging through their own personal sort of, not to say that it's not good to hear the reality behind some of your entertainers' like feelings and stuff, because, everyone's just a person at the end of the day. But I think it was just kind of a bad episode. And then, funny enough, to turn that into the one that I filmed was the interesting issue, because if I had not spent those first 20 or 25 minutes just rambling about my Instagram stats, I would have had a pretty consistently smooth episode until that camera shut down around like the 40-ish minute mark or so. Like, I would have probably had it all done by that time, what I wanted to do. But on the positive side, on the positive side of things, now that that's out of the way, I would like to say that I am pretty proud of that latter half. For those who haven't seen it or haven't heard it or just tuning in for the first time, I have been trying to update my home equipment in my home studio. Just wanted to turn off that light there. I have been trying to update my studio for a long time. I've been trying to, break into streaming. There's a lot of entertainers who I like, who make content basically reacting to things that they've seen, or just sort of vlogging, or, to keep everything short, because those who listen every week have heard this over and over. Basically, I'm trying to expand what I'm capable of doing, like within my realm of possibility, technologically and otherwise, because, just making short form videos on your phone, however appreciative I am of, being able to so far make a living from it, it does, kind of get repetitive. And sometimes you're just like, I'd love to hop on a stream and have people jump in and communicate with them, build a little community, and sort of just kind of spread my wings a little bit in that world. So I've been trying to build on that, and last week was the very first time where it kind of worked. It's not perfect by any means, and of course I'm not going to sit here and say, I knew I could do it, and that shit fucking rocks. I'm not going to look at it and say that it's, I'm probably going to reflect on this in 10 years and go, oh my God, I cannot believe that it's that bad. But I have to say, as I feel right now, that I'm pretty happy with it. For those who don't know, or those who haven't seen it, last week I filmed everything, but what I did was I did a little editing magic, kind of cleaned up some, how the camera looks a little bit. Again, of course, it's not this beautiful 4K DSLR camera that we all know and love from our favorite YouTubers, but it's, it's a first step. And I have a good microphone, and I mixed all that stuff together. And what I did was I chopped down a 50-something minute episode into, I think it's 26 minutes, which is about my favorite length for a good YouTuber video. You know, it's not so long that you feel that this is really dragging out. If it's a video essay, if it's someone I like and they're talking about, you know, theories on my favorite video game storyline or a movie critic or, you know, things you didn't know about that, you know, the 90s, like about Cat Dog from Nickelodeon or something, then, you know, I don't mind if that's, you know, 1 or 2 hours, especially if I'm just kind of putting it on at night. There's an entire faction of YouTube videos that are just to be put on just to listen to. Isn't that bananas? If you have YouTube Premium, you can just, and I think this benefits people who also just want to hear music and not pay for a Spotify account, but you can just, on YouTube Premium, you can just put a video on, turn your phone screen black and put it in your pocket and just listen to it. And there's an entire genre of videos that is catering to that desire for people who just want to hear a soothing voice talk about a semi-interesting topic, a topic that's interesting enough to put it on, that whenever you kind of zone in and out of it, you're kind of like, oh, I didn't know that they had cryptids in Michigan. Oh, they say that they, you know, casted a Bigfoot footprint in the mud of Appalachia. You know, there's enough interest in these things to enjoy it, but not interesting enough that you can't fall asleep to it. That's interesting. That'd be an interesting business to get into. But one step at a time. I made the video. I chopped it down pretty tight. I think 26 minutes, you know. Usually the stuff that I enjoy watching is, you know, 20-ish minutes to 35 max. You know, if it's just an entertaining video you throw on when you're having lunch alone or, you know, whatever, you know, sharing little hot wings with your pal and you're just munching away. So you don't have much to chit chat because you just saw each other a few days ago. So you just toss on like a good YouTube vid where you're like, you see, I told you this guy's crazy. You want some more hot sauce? And, I chopped it down. I'm happy with the editing, you know, and it's hard to do everything alone. That's always been the main issue as well. I did, I don't know if this guy's going to even listen to this message, but I did have a DM that I have yet to respond to from a very nice gentleman. I believe he's American. I don't know. I can't go through everything right now. Oh, hold on. Okay. Had to check a message. I had a DM from a very nice guy who, by some miracle, listened to last week's episode. And maybe, you know, could turn into a little partnership here. He has, in so many words, volunteered his time to help me sort of manage all the things that I'm trying to do. I made a very clear declaration on the previous episode that my issue is that I'm in a gray zone where I need help to balance the things that I'd like to do to expand my, you know, my brand or my business, whatever you want to call it. But I don't have the money to have employees. But I don't believe in asking people, like, I don't want to ask people to do things for free, especially if it's under like a time pressure. I don't like that. If someone were to ask me, it would have to be like a very good friend who would know that in the back end, I could just like take them out for pizza or at least, you know, a round of drinks or 10, you know, at the nearby bar or something. Like, you'd have to be someone where you're like, dude, you're really good at this. If you're free any time in the month, I would really love if you could just cut this up and, you know, I don't have, you know, X amount of money that you deserve for this, but, you know, that is, just on that topic, briefly, that is kind of something I miss genuinely about living in New Orleans. One of the things I miss about New Orleans do seem to dwindle as I get older because I, you know, you get sort of stationary and safe where you are, and living in, a country like Germany does make you aware of the flaws of places like that more and more. But the people obviously are, you know, the most valuable product of the area. And what I miss about that, especially in my college years, is going to this film school. And man, the unlimited amount of man hours put into passion projects for absolutely nothing is just, you know, unmatched anywhere else. I mean, I've had friends, you know, musicians do music videos on the real cheap. Band members played gigs for nothing. You know, but people get older, people have relationships, people have kids, and, you know, it's also, I don't think it shows the best, how do you say that, like the best commitment or loyalty to people that help you if you never can give them something. But of course, all friendships, all relationships to people in creative industries, you always have people who come through and pull through, and you know, they'll edit a video for nothing. They'll come and help shoot it for nothing, just for the experience, just for a good time. Oh, I'm free this weekend. Sure. There's like a, you know, New Orleans 48-hour film festival. All these students and 20-somethings get together, write a script, shoot a 6-minute movie, build the sets themselves out of cardboard and markers, build the costumes out of trash bags and spray paint, make a space movie that looks like a, you know, a B-side Flaming Lips music video, cut it up together and submit it, and sometimes win, you know, and it's not enough money to pay everybody for their time, but you get some sort of like recognition that you're making art worth seeing. And I've feel like that tank is pretty dry here. And this is not a complaint. This is just facts. It's just, you know, I think the German mindset's a bit more in this stationary understanding of like, this is how things go. Like this, but why? But this is not, I cannot do this. If, you know, if it's not like this, then it's not how it can be done. So it's a lot less of like people getting the hint. You know, there's, I mean, it sounds like I'm complaining. I get that people can't do things for free. I can't do things for free for everybody. You know, if I have people who say, can you, hey man, you know, it's different if they're like, can you come help me move? You know, then that's one thing. But if it's a question of, you know, can you come, you know, work on a project or something? Yeah, you know, a good friend, sure, I'll do that. Absolutely, no problem. But I can't do everything for free, right? And I have trouble asking business partners for more money, even though I know I'm worth it, and it's always been an issue. And, you know, nice guys finish last. What can I say? But I had a very nice message from a guy who might, you know, I need to reach out to him, but he volunteered to, in some capacity, help me with these issues with the full understanding that I can't really pay him right now. But that could be, you know, I haven't reached out yet. We haven't made any contact. You know, I just saw a message, you know, thankfully just randomly checking the DMs. There's a lot of messages from people I don't know usually, and it's often just a comment on some strange Instagram story I posted from a few days back. You can't even see what it was, so it's just kind of a throwaway, you know, left field comment about something, and you don't really know what they're talking about, or you don't care if they have a negative opinion because it's just like, well, you don't have to watch this or whatever. So I'm really glad that I saw that message amongst the noise. And so I'll keep you guys updated. Maybe that could turn into something where, you know, I can shoot this podcast, you know, video more regularly like I want, have like sort of a regular YouTube appearance. I have to say, for the first video to be cut and shot and stuff the way that it is, you know, I really can't complain with the interaction with it, because I don't have an enormous YouTube audience, especially compared to my followers on, like, let's say Instagram or TikTok or something. It's significantly less, so I don't expect there to be just a huge breakthrough or something there. But you know, to break over 1,000 views on a brand new idea that you built from scratch and did everything alone, and you know, I expected, you know, I'm so used to, in my history with music videos, seeing like 100 views, 70 views, you know, I'm used to just seeing just nothing, just no interaction whatsoever. But, you know, to see, you know, oh, you know, north of 100,000, not 100,000, north of 1,000 views, with, you know, a comment, a few likes, it's like, okay, you know, I mean, I expected less than that. So that's a good sign. Maybe there's something there I can kind of expand this into and build something with. So yeah, last week, if you haven't seen it, I might forget to put it in my show notes, but there is a link. No, that's okay. I don't have to put it in the show notes, because in the show notes, there is a Linktree link right there. And it's the first thing in my Linktree. The very, very first link is this live recorded podcast episode that I kind of looped into being about German stereotypes when, you know, more or less it was about just testing the equipment and trying my best. But yeah, so that went pretty good, and I'm pretty happy with that. And I'll let you guys know what goes on with Homeboy if we end up working together. Could be cool. Pretty cool update I have to tell you guys about. Now, I don't think I can say what this project is called. I'm going to play this extraordinarily safe. I'm going to play this, you know, underwater submarine level safety post, you know, Ocean Gate. I'm gonna play this CIA level, black sunglasses, men in black, red flashlight, where am I, who am I, who are these kids, sort of like safe, okay? Although if I was playing it that safe, I probably wouldn't even bring it up. But the point is, I'm being safe. I can't say anything about it as far, except for the fact that I believe officially, we're in the contract stage now. So I do believe that this is kind of a good to go situation. I've had the official, you know, meetings with the heads of the project, and you know, got the good old thumbs up. You know, the creator of this project had me in mind from the beginning to play a role in their television show. Originally, the idea was perhaps to have me as sort of a recurring character that was sort of in the background, popping in and out for some funny, you know, some funny little plot lines. You know, if you've ever seen Seinfeld, I could imagine it being someone like Newman, you know, popping it, not in every episode, but popping in and out, making a good funny plot line, you know, affecting the characters whenever they show up, funny things like that. It ended up kind of being boiled down to just a one episode plot line. Who knows what that might turn into? But the point is, there is a television show that is, the set is being built now. They are going to 100% shoot it. It is all the way here now at like the final steps. They have their cast chosen, and that character that the creator of the show had in mind for me to play has been chosen that I will play it. And that's very, very exciting. I love being thought of or considered for things that I didn't have to fight to create or push myself, like, oh, you want me? And I just have to show up and do it and have fun and not worry about all the editing and worry about all the organization? Sure, of course, you know? And yeah, we're in the process now. Basically, it's going to be in a sound studio. They're building everything now. And very excited to be back on a set again. I mentioned in the last episode that our friend Moritz shot this movie September 5, and now it's been announced it's going to play at Venice. And I haven't been on a professional set since then. You know, been a long time. And now I'll get to do it again. It's going to be I reckon around the end of September. They're saying 3 days, could be less, you know, sometimes things change that, you know, that I'm sure they don't have the shooting schedule locked down to an exact science just yet. And that stuff's very fickle and very hard to have down, you know, cause people get sick or, you know, something breaks or, you know, someone's plane didn't take off. Things change all the time. But yeah, basically, there's a TV show and it's going to be shot and I'm going to act as an American guy in the context of the show, kind of breaking up the safety and the routine of the characters' lives. Very excited to meet them and to crash their party and to hopefully make a good screen presence and, of course, to be able to promote it and talk about it and share clips of it on my social media, which, you know, I'm sure eventually I'll be able to do. I'm lucky that I have some help professionally from our, you know, a friend of our, like an agent who is like a friend, sort of a friend of the family around these parts. Like pretty much all my film friends have the same agent more or less. And she's a genius and she's wonderfully kind. And she's going to help me organize, you know, all the details that I have no idea about. So I'm pretty excited to do it. And when I can tell you more about it, believe you me, I will be doing that. So I'm really pumped about that. I actually have a few pieces of good news on this episode. For example, or as the Germans would say, zum Beispiel, in, let's see, I think it's 1 week. Yeah, it's a week from tomorrow, from this recording. So next week, the one and only German water sommelier. Der German water sommelier. So, okay, I should break this down. he's going to be on the show. That's the thing. So he's going to be on the show. He's extremely entertaining and very funny and crazy and in all the best ways. So the German water sommelier is going to be right here on Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, which is really cool and really crazy, honestly. There's like a whole full circle journey with this guy that a lot of you might not know about. Let me just give you a quick rundown of what a sommelier is. So, a sommelier, which is usually, just for the record, limited to wines. There's a sommelier for basic, and just also so you have it in your head. This is a very, very French word, and it's not sounding even remotely the way that it is spelled. It is spelled S-O-M-M. You still with me? S-O-M-M-E-L-I-E-R. Sommelier. It's a sommelier person. You know, someone who understands their wine, they have a sommelier nose than you do. Because to understand the grapes and to know if it's a white grape, to know if it's a red grape, then you have to, of course, be a little bit of a sommelier nose than most people. And we here, and I'm switching our backs now. We, the Europeans, the people who are born in Europe, the Europeans, have a sommelier nose than the average American. And what does, here's a good Google search, what does sommelier mean? In French, oh, I did not know this. In French, the word sommelier literally means butler. Didn't see that coming. Somehow it's like it became specialist, but it started off as butler. Did not know that. And it's been used since the 19th century to mean a wine steward or a wine waiter. Definitions of sommelier is a waiter who manages wine service in a hotel or a restaurant, a wine steward. Okay, so you can pick up from that. You know, there's even like wine sommelier awards. You can be awarded as like the best one. And I've seen videos of that, and it's pretty crazy. You have like this very boring conference room looking thing, and you have, which is like a combination of like, you know, the ground floor at the Oscars, like dark carpet with like some gold lighting, but then a conference room vibe. Very stale, very weird. And you have all these guys in black suits who are given like a, or you know, also women, you know, just to be inclusive. It's everybody, anyone who wants to be a sommelier person than the person next to them will take a series of glasses. The reason I say men first is because it is usually nerds. Let's get that right out of the way. Women are usually too busy being cool, and guys have hobbies that are usually lame to keep them from going insane. That's why they're a wine sommelier. Anywho, they take a series of glasses and they, you know, have like a certain amount of time and, you know, they have to go like, and then they spin it in circles. They oxygenate the wine. Take a little sip, you know. They swirl it around. They never drink it, mind you. This is what it sounds like. Hold on. It and then they spit it. I swallowed my water, but they spit it out into a bucket. Imagine being the bucket cleaner. And they go like, this is a French red. I mean, I guess red might's pretty obvious. This is a French Cabernet. This is a French cab from the Ancien-Rhin region in southern Kamalov. And it's, you know, been barreled in, you know, an oak cellar for, I don't know, 20 years. I don't know. I don't know how they do it, but it's pretty crazy. A sommelier or a wine steward is trained and knowledgeable wine professional, normally working in fine restaurants, who specializes in all aspects of wine service as well as wine and food pairing. I love the people who pair wines with food. I would be dog shit at this job. And honestly, I would be the guy who's like, you know, I see that you're having a T-bone steak, medium rare. Have you considered having 7 to 8 cans of Coors Light? excuse me, sir. I couldn't help but notice that you ordered the tomahawk, the house tomahawk, 180-gram steak there. Have you considered... Now, I'm no sommelier. Have you considered knocking back 8 or 9 Michelob Ultras? Have you thought about drinking down the house? I guarantee it's going to make whatever the next bite is taste just that much better. Anyway, so yeah, wine specialist, butler, more or less. And he is, I think, it's not even self-proclaimed anymore. He's an established MF-er. Let me tell you, Martin is not Martin Riese is not just, he's no BS, guys. Actually, I have a lot of respect for this guy. I made fun of sommelier, but he really is like the real deal. His website comes off right off the bat. Water is our most important resource on the planet. Let's talk about it. Water is the ultimate sustainability superhero flowing through our lives and unrivaled eco-friendliness. While other beverages might quench our thirst, water takes the crown for its minimal indirect use, water usage. Water takes the crown for its minimal water usage. Think about it. From the sea, oh, I see. To produce it, it takes less water. That's funny. Think about it. From the seeds planted in lush fields to the bustling factories churning out refreshing drinks, water is the unsung hero behind it all. It doesn't need fancy packaging or extensive processing. Just a good sip from the source. Raise your glass or reusable bottle to water, the OG sustainable sip that keeps our planet and bodies hydrated in style, and dive into the world of water with me. So he's been seen on television. He's been in like GQ videos with very famous artists like 2 Chainz and Diplo. Here he is on National Geographic. He's been featured on National Geographic. I know him in a very funny way because he was featured on none other than Tom Segura and Christina P's podcast, Your Mom's House, many, many years ago. And if you heard my interview with Christina, I brought that up. It's in the link in the show notes. But yeah, funny enough, like years ago, I had just moved to Germany, was getting really into the old Segura podcast world. And yeah. Discovered Martin Riese, very entertaining episode. Thought this guy cannot be real. You will hear, and I love him, and I respect him, and we like each other. Obviously, he wouldn't be coming here if he didn't understand that I'm a humorist. But he does have the most insane German accent. You know, credit where credit's due. He is very good at taking a joke. The way we kind of made connections was like I realized who he was, and then I started watching his videos. I mean, you know, the information is astounding and very entertaining, but his accent's intense. And I made a impression video. I made a video like a TikTok where I pretended to be him, and he responded to it in a very positive way. He duetted it, you know, in internet language. That means like, you know, he shares your video to his audience in a split screen format where he's next to it, sort of like showing you his reaction in real time. And he was very positive and funny. And he also kind of supported that, like, when I made fun of him, I didn't make fun of what he does. I just kind of mocked, like, his personality, because he is a big personality. And I'm very excited to have him on the show, to talk to him personally, to talk about Germany, to talk about he lives in America now. I'm very lucky that he contacted me on his trip back to Germany. He's a very busy man. In order to come, you know, to the home studio and have a little podcast together. Going to have that filmed for sure. So buckle your seatbelts for that one. Here's what his about says. Hi, I'm Martin Riese, water advocate, beverage consultant, author, and water sommelier. Martin Riese stands as a global authority in the realm of water, renowned as the world's foremost water sommelier. With an illustrious career spanning decades, Martin has dedicated himself to elevating water appreciation to an art form, captivating audiences worldwide with his profound knowledge and passion for this essential element. Beyond his role as a water sommelier, I'm sorry, that's rude to say sommelier when I respect this guy, but sommelier, Martin is also a highly esteemed beverage consultant, offering his unparalleled expertise to prestigious establishments around the globe. His innovative approach to beverage curation and pairing has revolutionized the hospitality industry, earning him widespread acclaim and recognition. In addition to his consultancy work, Martin is a passionate advocate for water conservation and sustainability. My God, I'm a terrible reader today. He tirelessly promotes the importance of preserving our planet's most precious resource, using his platform to raise awareness and inspire positive change. Here we go, last one, guys. Hold on, lock in. Weather guiding, that's my alarm. Sorry, okay, done. Whether guiding clients in crafting unique beverage experiences or championing environmental causes, Martin continues to inspire and lead with his unwavering commitment to excellence and his profound dedication to the world of beverages and water advocacy. Martin's amazing in the sense that, you know, there's a lot of companies that like will basically make a profit off of just collecting tap water from their state and not putting it through any sort of, you know, processes that would make benefit to the consumer. And he'll just come outright, you know, no shame, no fear, and just be like, that's bullshit. This water is, you know, they're selling this for however much, you know, per bottle, per case. This is just straight up right out of the tap water from, you know, let's say Ohio or, you know, whatever, from wherever. Kentucky, you know, Arizona. He really covers like the United States a lot, and he lives there now, and he's this TV personality guy, and he'll just really like he'll have like, you know, videos where he has like 10 bottles. I think in addition to, you're gonna see it for yourself, because in addition to us doing the podcast together and just getting to have a nice chat talking about all this and how we got into it, we're gonna make some content together. So you're gonna also be able to see some videos that we're gonna put together and have a little fun with. Where we go into places here in Munich and, yeah, break down that water, that good old-fashioned water, and show you when and how, as a consumer, you're being scammed, and when and how, what companies make the best stuff, like Fiji water. He's a big, you know, approval. Evian water, I think he is also, you know, approves, but like Smart Water or Aquafina or Dasani water is really, really, really sort of, you know, scamming the consumer in terms of, like, what it offers in terms of, the minimal effort from the tap sources of that region that goes straight into, you know, just turns into money for their pocket, but doesn't benefit anybody and doesn't even taste as nice as it should. And, you know, every time I see a bottle of water at a nice restaurant, if I see a glass bottle of still water at a nice restaurant, I always think of Martin. So I'm very happy to have him on the show. I'll just round out a few more things here really quickly. And then I'm going to wrap it up. It's not going to be a long one today, but I will wrap it up with the fact that the month, like the end of the month of August into pretty much all of September is pretty exciting. Also into October. Let me give you a little heads up. So, you know, August, I'm going to be taking a little trip to Berlin, and, you know, visiting around, seeing a few friends, and then, you know, getting back into Munich, spending a little bit of time at home, catching up on work, and then going right off into a nice trip to Italy for a little, was it like 10 days, 9 days, something like that. Not too long, not too short, nice little break away from the world as I know it. And then getting back from that, pretty much like immediately once I get back from that, my parents are going to be visiting me here in Munich in my home, and I'm very excited for that. They've never seen my current, you know, home as it stands. You know, they've never been to this location, so very excited for them to see it, to experience it, and be a part of my life, and see what's going on, and sort of just touch base. And just, you know, get them cozy and comfortable and have a good time and enjoy the summer, because it's going to be beautiful weather and, you know, nothing too crazy, but just hanging out and getting, you know, getting stuff done. Very excited for that. And like a couple of days, maybe even like the next day after they arrive, I have to drive an hour away and perform a short, however important, and I really should rehearse it more, but a short stand-up comedy set for the U.S. Embassy. The U.S. Embassy, I think it's like from the Munich department, but they are in cahoots. In cahoots. They're putting on like a special event at a different location, like a yearly, you know, special whatever event about something. And I am there to be the entertainment. So that's pretty crazy. They arrive. I wish they could come. I wish I could bring anybody, but it's really strict. There's like a lot of security measures, and I'm going to have to go there alone, and then I'll just come back after. But go there to this like castle, I think, perform my set that I'm preparing, a really original, fresh set just for the U.S. Embassy. And yeah, hopefully make everybody laugh, hopefully have a nice time with everyone, connect with all the Americans living abroad. I love that part of it. I was invited, if you guys are regular listeners, you're going to remember last year I was invited to the Berlinale Film Festival in Berlin to the U.S. Embassy there, and was a guest at this event and had my own little red carpet moment and took some photos. Everything's on my Instagram and stuff if you've never seen it. And, you know, had the opportunity to meet a lot of really cool people in that world as well. So I'm excited to be in touch with that. I feel very, very, very honored, extraordinarily honored and flattered that different U.S. embassies in this country have, you know, contacted me to in some way entertain or be a part of something that they're putting on. It's an extremely honorable feeling, regardless of how honorable it might come off when I talk about penis jokes and German stereotypes. But anyway, thing is, I'm very happy to do it, and I'm excited for that. So yeah, you know, Berlin trip, and then there's a little bit of an Italy getaway, and then so you can expect some content, you know, Germans in Italy. Then my parents showing up, and then maybe I'll get old mommy and daddy on a podcast. What y'all think about that? What y'all think about that? We'll see. We'll see what they're comfortable with. And, you know, my dad's a talker, just like me. I'm sure he'll be fine with it. My mom, you know, maybe I can convince her. A couple of margaritas. Let's see. Yeah, and then the embassy performance. And, yeah, and then, of course, there's Martin Riese coming soon. Shout out to Drew Danbury, D-A-N-B-U-R-R-Y, Drew Danbury. Great songwriter. My first real musical hero. He was my high school hero. Yeah, listened to his records like crazy. He came and played my small town in Mississippi, and we've stayed in contact all these years. And I'm very happy for him that he has a beautiful family and you know, still keeps trucking along. And sometimes we get in contact. And yesterday was his birthday. And yeah, shout out to him. Shout out to my friend Marcus, who just recently got married to the love of his life, Sabina. I had the opportunity to go there and play some songs for him, and it was a really sweet ceremony. And yeah, Martin's coming, and then my parents, embassy. I'm just going through my list here, and I got casted in that show, and I'm very excited about that. So thank you guys so much for listening. If you had fun, if you enjoyed yourselves, you know the drill. Like, subscribe, give it a rating, give it a comment, just something. Tell your friends about it. It really helps us grow and spread the love here. I'll keep you guys updated on everything, and you guys mean the world to me. Have a wonderful week. Thank you, and bye-bye. Look out, baby, the saints are